Is everybody enjoying their Christmas so far? Boy, this is a great time of the year to really be celebrating the birth of our Savior, right? Well, He brought salvation to us, didn't He? I mean, He made it so we can have peace and joy and discover who we really are, right? Freedom. Salvation means freedom. Salvation is here, right? I like that. Well, I'm not going to keep you all too long because I know you want to get back with your families and all. So we are going to get started in Luke's Gospel chapter 2. Luke's Gospel chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 7. 7 through 14. This is the portion of Scripture I always read to my children and our family before we opened our gifts. So it kind of kept us in the focus and right perspective. So this is the Scripture I used to read. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Father, we just thank you. We thank you for this time, Lord, as we gather together this evening. We thank you that you've allowed us to gather together. We thank you for every family that's here tonight. Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you that we are still celebrating the birth of Jesus. Some 2,000 years ago took place, and we're still celebrating it, Lord. Lord, we want to celebrate it tonight, and we want to give you all that we have, Father. We bring it to you right now, Lord. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight that doesn't really understand a Savior, they don't understand the meaning of Christmas, Father, we ask that you give them revelation, knowledge, and understanding that you truly are our Savior. So, Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you for all you're going to do tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right. We're going to look at verse 11. We're going to expound upon that. It says, "For there is born to you," to who? So Jesus was born to you. Did you know that? To everyone, everybody. That's what he's saying, to you, to everybody. That's what that's talking about, to everybody on the planet. "For there was born to you this day in the city of David a" what? A Savior who is Christ the Lord. Why do we need a Savior? Why do we need a Savior? Matthew's gospel says that he came to save us from our sins. Sin separates us from God, right? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The word death means separation. So there's a price to pay for sin. Jesus paid the price by coming here, being born, and going to the cross. And then when he was on the cross, the Roman soldiers and all those who were persecuting him said, "Why don't you come down from there and save yourself?" And he didn't respond. Because it wasn't about saving himself, it was about saving you and me. That's what it was about, all about saving us. Salvation is for us, a Savior. We need a Savior. so that we don't have to be separate from God. We can get back into fellowship with God. So that's the whole idea of why we need a Savior. And the word Savior, it means, it's the Greek word sozo. It means security, it means healthy, it means wholeness, it means peace. It means security, it means healthy, it means wholeness, it means peace. So that's something, I mean, all those words really say something. Security. Look how much insecurity there is in our society today. You know, we're insecure, inferior. The Bible says we've all sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. The word fall short means inferior. So we're all inferior when it comes to really living out the glory of God. We fall short. But when we repent of our sins and we get Christ in our heart and we have salvation, now we're bringing the glory of God into our life. And now the glory of God is being manifested in our life. The word glory means what God originated and intended. Right? Glory to God on the highest. See, He wants the glory to come out of you. The reason He created you. He wants that to be displayed here on earth. Right? We've been talking about bringing heaven to earth. And that's what God wants. He wants to, our salvation will bring glory, His glory, out of us, what He originated and intended, here on earth for others to see. So the word Savior is the word sozo. Security, healthy, wholeness, and peace. So, I need me some of that, don't you? Amen. Salvation is here. And that's, we're going to look at salvation tonight. Go, if you brought your Bible, go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proves, see, remember the angels announced it, right? If the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. So confirmed to us by those who heard him, those are the ones who hear God's voice. We know people that we believe that hear God's voice. And we can see it, salvation in their life, right? It's confirmed by them because it's working in their life. So listen to me. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If you neglect anything, it starts to fall apart, doesn't it? You were created for salvation. You were created for salvation. And that's what Jesus was born, His birth is all about. To get you back to what you were created for, salvation. The word neglect means to ignore or to pay no attention to. To ignore or to pay no attention to. So when you ignore your wife or you ignore your husband, your marriage is going to fall apart, isn't it? When you ignore your finances are going to fall apart. When you ignore relationships, period, your relationships are going to fall apart. When you ignore your job, you're going to get fired. When you ignore anything, it's going to fall apart. That makes sense, doesn't it? So he says, how can you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? What's he talking about? Escape what? You know what? If you neglect a salvation, you're not going to escape not having freedom. You're not going to escape having peace. You won't have peace. There'll always be confusion. That's what you're not going to escape. You're not going to healthy and security. You're never going to be secure. You're not going to be able to escape that. You're going to always feel insecure. You're never going to be able to escape that, the feeling of wholeness. The word salvation is also means to be made whole from many scattered parts. When we come to God and we give Him our heart and salvation takes place, then you come to Him scattered, and then He begins to put your life together the way it was created. And that's what salvation is. Salvation is here. So we don't want to neglect our salvation. You know, believers, when they neglect their salvation, their family starts to fall apart. Their lives begin to drift. When you begin to neglect your salvation, things begin to fall apart. Am I making sense tonight? I know this is simple, but I'll tell you what, it's profound and it's true. And you know, people, you can go to church every week and be neglecting your salvation. Because the Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's an individual thing. You're to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You see that? You have to do your part. Now watch this. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. Having been perfected, He became the author of what? Eternal salvation. To all who obey Him. To all who obey Him. You see, it's important that we obey the Lord. When we obey Him, hey, we get His principles, and they begin to work in our life. If you're willing and obedient, then you will inherit the land. You will inherit the goodness of the land. You see, if you're willing and obedient, it takes obedience. We have to begin to obey the Lord. And He's writing the story on your life. He's the author of eternal salvation. He's writing the book on your life. If we're not obeying Him and we're not going to Him, then somebody else is writing the story on your life. Does that make sense? I don't want anyone else writing my story. I want Him to be the author. How about you? Because He's my creator. And then I'm going to get true peace, and I'm going to have wholeness, and I'm going to be healthy, and I'm going to be secure in an insecure world. You can be secure right in the middle of an insecure world if you have salvation. Now, go with me to Hebrews 6:9. I love this. We're looking at the Bible, aren't we? Because we are a Bible-believing church. Look at this. I love this. Verse 9. But, beloved, we are confident of what? Better things. We are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, the things that what? Accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner. Better things accompany salvation. Better things. If you're miserable and you're always, you know, uptight and you're, you know, frustrated all the time, somewhere you're neglecting salvation. Because salvation, better things accompany salvation. Better things. Go with me to Psalms 21. Remember, we just looked at that Jesus was born in the city of David. Now we're going to the psalm that David wrote about salvation. That was significant why Jesus was born in the city of David. That was significant because it was a city of salvation. David was focused on salvation. David understood salvation. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You see, he was afraid of nothing. He had no fear because he knew the Lord was his salvation and the strength of his life. He was focused on his salvation. Now look at this. In verse 1 of Psalms 21, "The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice? There's joy in true salvation. When you have true salvation, you're going to have joy. And what's the Bible say? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your what? Your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I had the flu yesterday. Oh, man, it was taking all my strength. I didn't go running. I canceled my program for the, I was going to go somewhere with the family last night. I canceled it all. And I tell you what, I was busted up. But I got up this morning and I said, I can't have this no more. And I was weak. And I just started saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I just started speaking that and speaking that over myself. And you know what? Hey, I started getting stronger. You know, I just wasn't going to put up with that for another day. That laying around and, you know, ick. Huh. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know what? When you have true salvation, you can have joy in the midst of whatever. Even while I was yesterday going through all that, I still was talking about joy. You know, it wasn't real maybe. But you know what? I was. It was coming, right? It was going to show up, but it showed up today. Because I'll tell you what, I didn't want to call somebody and have to get somebody else up here, right? At the last minute. The joy of the Lord is my strength. When you have true salvation, you're going to have joy. That's why he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Count it all joy when you fall into trial. When you're in a trial, that's when you get joyful, right? That's when you get joyful. You can only do that if you have true salvation. If you're neglecting your salvation, you can't do that. You'll let the trial, you'll let all your circumstances beat you down, and that will control your life. But God wants you to take control, and he wants you to have joy in your salvation. He says he rejoices over you with the joy of salvation. Now look at this. Verse 2, you have given him his heart's desire. Your dreams will come true if you do not neglect your salvation. Your dreams will come true in life. He will give you the desires of your heart. The deepest desires of your heart, they will come true in your life if you don't neglect your salvation. Your dreams are going to come true. Your dreams and visions are going to come true. Now look at this. Same verse 2. And he has not withheld the request of your lips. And he has not withheld the... You know what? He answers prayers. He answers the prayers that you pray. Folks, if we're neglecting our salvation, he's not going to answer your prayers. People go to church every week, and they're neglecting their salvation, and their prayers aren't being answered, and all kinds of things are because they're neglecting their salvation. They're really not putting their heart into it. They don't have that relationship with God. And that's what salvation is all about, is a personal relationship with God through Jesus. That's what it's all about. Prayers get answered. Verse 3, for you meet him with the blessings of goodness. Blessings of goodness. You know what blessings means? Empowered to prosper and achieve success. You see, God will empower you to prosper and achieve success if you're not neglecting your salvation. And it's not based on what the government is doing. It's based on what's going on in your heart. Your business will prosper if you're focused on your salvation. Are you with me tonight? God will bring people with wisdom, and he will make contacts in your life, and you will continue to prosper if you do not neglect your salvation. You know what happens? The problems come and we get so focused on the problems that we can't prosper. We just get focused on the problems. And now we're neglecting our salvation. I'm going to tell you something. The economic crisis is not near as bad as it seems. You know what? The media and all is portraying this economic crisis like never before. They're equating it with the Great Depression. The unemployment rate was 26% in the Depression. It was 10.8% in the 80s, early 80s, and it's only 6.8% now. So it's not near as bad as they're portraying. And I'm here to tell you, if you're a believer, don't you get caught up and talk in that mess. And don't get focused on that mess. Get focused on your salvation. And don't neglect your salvation. God wants to prosper you. He wants to show you who's in charge. And of his increase in government, there will be no end. Are you with me today? I know I'm starting to preach a little bit, but I'm trying to speak over your lives because I'm hearing too much come from believers of doubt and fear and unbelief. And folks, it's time to rise up and believe in our Savior. Are we making sense? All righty. Watch this. Look at this. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. That's authority. That's authority. He wants to give you authority of pure gold. That means it has no impurities. You know what? He wants to give you authority in your relationships. He wants to give you authority. You know what that means, authority? That means you have self-control. That means you are going to have self-control over your emotions, over your wanting to lash out and wanting your way all the time. If you're a person and you're always trying to control somebody, you see, that's because you don't have any authority in your life. And you always want to control in the relationship, or you always want to control someone. You see, God is not, that's not, we're not to be controlling people. We're to control ourselves and territory. You see, if you're neglecting your salvation, you're going to always be trying to control somebody. And if you're trying to control somebody, that's because you're neglecting your salvation. Are we making sense? That's significant. That's significant. We need self-control. Self-control. You won't go on big spending spurges and, you know, you won't do because you have self-control. You won't lash out when your spouse or whoever's close to you says something wrong, or you won't lash out. You'll be more graceful in your speech. You'll give them more grace and more mercy. That's authority. You see, that's authority. Because if you always have to get your way and show them who's in charge, and you see, there's no authority in that. Not in the kingdom. Quiet in this Presbyterian church. He asked life from you and gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. Longevity. Your salvation, when you're focused on your salvation, it brings long life. Long life. David said, because you've set your love upon me, says the Lord, I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you have known my name. When you call upon me, I will answer. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you with long life. I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. He's going to show you your salvation when you're not neglecting it. He's going to show it to you, and you're going to know that he is in charge and that this is salvation working in my life. David understood salvation. David was focused on salvation. Now, let me speed up here because y'all got to go do your thing. Verse 6, for you have made him most blessed forever. Wait a minute. Wait, let's go back up. Verse 5. His glory is great in what? In your salvation. His glory is great in what? In your salvation. His, what he originated and intended your life to be in salvation. You see that? How many people run around wondering why they're on this planet? They don't understand. They're looking for purpose in life. They don't understand what. You ever just stop and think, why am I here? He has your answer. He has every answer you're looking for. And in salvation, he will reveal it to you. He will reveal it to you. He'll give it to you through revelation. Now watch this. His glory, what God originated and intended your life to be, is great in your salvation. Verse 6. For you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. You see, when you don't neglect your salvation, you get his presence. You get his presence. And the Bible says in Psalms, David's Psalm, he said, in his presence is the fullness of joy, and that he will show you the path of life. You see, when you don't neglect your salvation, his presence is with you. Well, his presence is with me all the time. Yeah, but you know what? If you're neglecting your salvation, you won't ever recognize it. You won't even know when his presence is there and when he's really trying to speak to you. But if you aren't neglecting your salvation, you're going to hear it and you're going to walk the path and he's going to reveal it to you. He'll show you the path of life. He'll make sure you see it in his presence. Verse 11. There's protection in salvation. There is protection in salvation. For they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. For they intended evil against you. Folks, sometimes people strategize and try to take you out. Am I talking to the right people? But you know what? There is a protection in your salvation. There is a protection in your salvation. They can't even perform it. If you're not neglecting your salvation, you are going to be protected. You are going to be protected. Folks, listen to me. Salvation, it's a great salvation. It is a great salvation. The prophet Isaiah said, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their rivalings. For the moth will eat them as a garment, and the worm will eat them as wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation will be from generation to generation." You see, if you have the true salvation, and you're not neglecting your salvation, guess what? Your salvation passes on to your children, to your grandchildren, on down. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't know why my kids are rebellion. What you got? Are you neglecting your salvation? If you're not neglecting your salvation, it gets passed on. He says, my salvation will be from generation to generation. I'll tell you what, that's good news. That's good news. Well, you look awful excited. I am. Because, folks, we need to get excited about this. If it's real and it's genuine, it gets passed on. If it's just this hypocrisy and fake and phony and just trying to be, it has no power. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them who believe." Folks, when we have true salvation, it has power. It has power. Are you with me today? And it has power to affect other people's lives. And I want my granddaughter Zeta to know salvation. I want my kids to know salvation. No matter what you go through, hang on there. Your salvation will have an effect on those closest to you. Are you with me tonight? Why would you want to neglect so great a salvation? Why? I remember reading a story and watching on the news. It's probably been 8-10 years ago. And this guy, he was cutting wood in the Pennsylvania mountains. And he was by himself, and he cut this tree down, and the tree fell on him. Well, he had a pocket knife in his pocket, and this tree couldn't get out from under it. So, you know what he did? He took the pocket knife, little pocket knife, and cut his leg off to get out from underneath that tree. And then he crawled up to the road, and somebody driving by saw him, picked him up, took him to the hospital. He now has one of them. And lives a normal life. And lives a good life. You see, he was in a very, very difficult situation. whether he is going to live or die. If he had not made that decision to cut his leg off, he would have died underneath that tree. Some of you are here tonight and you're facing very difficult situations. Maybe in your marriage, in your business, in your finances, whatever. They're difficult. Maybe physical health. You need to make a decision tonight. You need to make a decision. He says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. You see, when you choose life, that's salvation. It's going to affect your descendants. Well, we're going to pray a prayer of salvation tonight. And if you're here tonight and you've never prayed that prayer of salvation, I want you to pray this prayer. And I'm going to have you all stand up. Stand up if you would. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you have been neglecting your salvation. I want you to get in on this prayer and start this new year out not neglecting your salvation. Because God is calling us, folks. Times are uncertain out there, but you know what? In salvation, we're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. There's good news. David said, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. And that's what we're doing. We're still doing it. We're proclaiming the good news. That's right. So we're going to say a prayer of repentance. If you're here tonight and you've never prayed that prayer to receive Christ into your heart, I just want you to slip up your hand as a, okay? Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Anyone else? Just slip up your hand. It's just a public confession. We're not going to ask you to come forward, but we want, yes. It's so important that you understand. People celebrate, yes. People celebrate Christmas, and they have no idea why they're celebrating Christmas. They've yet to discover the greatest gift that has ever been given to us. Is there anyone else? If you're here tonight and you feel like you've been neglecting your salvation, I want you to raise your hand. Get open and honest with this thing. Because God is trying to show you something. Yes, yes. God is trying to show you something. And he really wants to show you, and he will. Okay, we're going to pray a prayer as a body, and we can all pray this prayer. And if you truly mean this in your heart, God is going to give you revelation, knowledge, and understanding. You know what? And also, we have Bibles up here. If you need a Bible and you prayed this prayer for the first time, we want to give you a Bible and a New Believer's Bible. It'll help you get started after the service. So pray this prayer with me right now. Just say, Father God, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross to save me from my sins. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you were buried and that you rose again on the third day, that I would have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for me. Now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life and be the Lord of all I do and say. Because your salvation is a great salvation. I will not neglect my salvation. In the name of Jesus. Okay, I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for everyone here tonight. I thank you, Lord, for those new believers that prayed that prayer. I thank you, Father, for those who have rededicated their life. And I thank you, Lord, for your presence here tonight. I thank you for salvation, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, I ask for your protection over every person that prayed that prayer with a sincere heart tonight. I ask for your protection over their mind. I pray that I bind the enemy in the name of Jesus. He has no power or authority. As we leave here tonight, they are going to have a skip in their step. They're going to have a joy unspeakable in their heart, knowing that salvation has begun in their heart. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that in the name of Jesus. And I pray that this word will be implanted in everyone's heart tonight, and that the enemy will not be able to rob it. And Lord, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you in this time of celebration. Merry Christmas. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Gone.